many people don't know, on any given Sunday throughout the spring, summer, and fall, in the woods of Pennsylvania and throughout the United States, there are thousands and thousands of these red arrows. They're directional arrows. Arrows for straight, there's turning arrows, and when you go the wrong way, there's big red W's. And when I spoke as a child, thought as a child, understood as a child, I followed these signs every Sunday as I rode through the woods wherever I was in the United States. These were the arrows that guided us as we raced through the woods in the direction we were supposed to be going to get to the destination or the finish line. And these arrows gave us direction. We knew where we wanted to go, but we needed direction in the correct way to get there. I specifically remember in Delaware, they had a reed or a grass that was called Phragmites. And Phragmites would grow in the swampy bogs, hundreds and hundreds of acres, and it would grow 10, 12, 15 feet high, kind of like the cornfields are this summer. And I think of the corn mazes that we have around here. But in these Phragmites bogs and fields, they would cut mazes for us to ride, and we'd feel like mice in mazes as we ripped through these mazes to get to the other side. We knew where we wanted to be over there, but we didn't know how to get there unless we were guided through. And if you missed the turn, you'd end up out in the brush and the weeds and have to kind of carve your way back out onto the trail. In New Jersey, when we ride down there, they had what's called the Pine Barrens, and they were acres and acres of pine trees closely, and I mean sometimes painfully close together, that we had to ride through and weave our way through for miles and miles, and you really had to concentrate on the red arrows ahead as you were riding to give you a direction through these places. We come today in our scripture reading to the sixth I Am revelation of Jesus Christ. John writes his gospel to show us Jesus as the Son of God. And as the Son of God, Jesus made many claims. And our sixth revelation here, the I Am revelation of Jesus Christ that he makes, is what we're going to be talking about this morning. When he makes this claim, he's making it in the context of a very special time in his life and the lives of his disciples. He's about to leave them in the world. In chapter 13, it tells us in verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. They were at the evening meal that had been served, and they were together in the upper room. He washed the disciples' feet during this time. He predicted his own betrayal by Judas. He predicted Peter's denial on this evening. He said to them that evening, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." He went on, Simon Peter replied to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So in the upper room on the evening of the Last Supper, we find Jesus and his distressed disciples, distressed because their Lord and friend was leaving them. So Jesus comforts them in our text today with words that you and I can hold near and dear to our hearts as our comfort today, because it is a promise to the followers and disciples of Jesus Christ then and us now today, to give us clarity. He says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Other translations, he says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." The New Living Translation says, he says, "Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust me." He goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." in my Father's house are many rooms. Some translations say many mansions, some say dwelling places. But the implication here is a place of staying or residence where one would stay or dwell. So Jesus is saying, in God's house, in my Father's house, there are many places to stay and reside. And he answers Peter's previous question where Peter says, Lord, where are you going? He says, I am going there, where? To my Father's house. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be there where I am. He tells them where he's going, to his Father's house, what he's going to do there, prepare that place for them, and he promises what he will do in the future. He does not leave his followers in the dark. They and we just have to trust him, believe in him, that he did go for that purpose and will come back to fulfill that promise. You see, with Jesus, there's a purpose and a plan. The purpose is he's leaving so that he can go and prepare a place for his followers in God's kingdom, and his death on the cross and resurrection to the right hand of the Father secures that special place for all of his followers there. As he says, also, so that you also may be there. And his plan is to come back and get those followers. When he comes back, will he get you? Will you be going back with him so that you also may be where he is? Some say, well, I hope so. Others say, well, I don't know. We can't know. How can we know? Jesus says to his followers, as he said to them there, the disciples, you know the way to the place where I'm going. That place is the Father's house. You know the way to the Father's house. Now, Thomas's remark is one that's not so shocking. In fact, it's quite common today. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Not only did Thomas not know the destination, he didn't know the direction to get to that destination. It wasn't that he was denying anything. The fact here is, he didn't have a clue. He didn't understand. That's why it's important for us to understand and have clarity. You see, Thomas was thinking naturally, physically, geographically, within the confines of earth. Jesus was talking supernaturally, spiritually, theologically, within the grace of God. So Jesus lays out a great theological foundational doctrine for Thomas and us who say, well, I don't know. How can we know? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the core belief of Christianity. The true understanding and belief of those who trust in God and trust in Christ. But what did he mean when he said that? The three words that he uses, the way, the truth, and the life. Originally in the Greek, as it was translated, was the word for way was hadas, implying a progress, a progression, like in a route that you're going. Figuratively, it meant a mode or a means. So what Jesus would have been saying is, I am the way, I am the progress, the way of progress, the route or the mode to the Father's house. I am the truth. That word comes from a root word, elethes, meaning to be true, especially in doctrine and profession. He's saying, I am the true doctrine, which is the teaching of God. And it also implies a true in the way of speaking, to tell the truth when you speak. And true as not concealing. It's revealed. It's a true revelation. So he's saying, I am the true revelation of God, and I am the revelation of his way to the Father's house. How can we know? Jesus revealed it to us. He says, I am the life. The word life is zoe in the Greek, comes from a root word of zao, meaning to live. Literally or figuratively. So Jesus was saying, I'm the living proof I'm a living testimony of God's way. So what he was saying here, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He says, I am the progression, the route, or the mode. I am the true revelation of God and His way to His house. And I am living proof or living testimony of God's way. There's no doubt in all that. Now, a great debate is developed today, even within Christianity, believe it or not. Is Christ the only way to the Father's house? The only way to eternal life? The only way to heaven? And some say, no, He's not the only way. But Jesus says here that He is the only way. Looks like we have a problem, don't we? And many of you are arguing these things daily in your workplace. I watched TV yesterday. If any of you were watching some of the football games, the Church of Scientology is putting it out there. It's coming at us, folks. We need to know the truth and what we stand on. We have a faith issue before us, and it's crucial. It's important to every life and every soul. Some think because there are many mansions, many dwelling places, there must be many ways. But you see, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. It's like going to the old movie theater. A lot of us remember that. You'd go to the old movie theaters with the turnstiles inside. You get the ticket outside, but you had to go through the turnstile inside. And the ticket master inside at the turnstile taking the tickets would not accept other tickets. You had to have the proper ticket. There were many seats or dwelling places to sit in the theater, and the people were all coming in to watch that one movie. But to get in, you had to have the proper ticket and go through the one way. When riding through the Phragmites grass in Delaware, you knew the direction you wanted to go, but unless you followed the directions, the one way, you were lost. You were in trouble. Same thing in the Pine Barrens. You had to constantly focus on the things that point you in the right direction. And so do we. It's the same with humanity and eternity. We constantly, day by day, have to focus on the right direction, the things that point us in the red direction. And it's interesting that, like the red arrows, our direction is printed in red right here before us, isn't it? Any sign in life that's important to us, our road signs, our signs in our schools, our signs in our workplaces, are written in red. Caution! And that's what we're finding here. Be careful what you believe. Isaiah 53 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. It's by his wounds that we are healed. Not any work that we did or anybody else did. Not any great thesis that somebody wrote. He made a way and he secured a place for all who would believe in him. When it's all said and done, it comes down to one question. Do you believe? Are you going to trust in God and trust in Jesus? Are you going to believe that his purpose is to prepare a place for you, and that he did when he died on Calvary and rose to sit at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes every single day for you and I who believe? And he promises to come back. He promises to come back for you and I, to take you and I to be with him forever. That's if you have the right ticket. And the red arrow that we see here in John 14 directing us points to that one way, and his name's Jesus Christ. The one way of progress, the true revelation of God's way to God's house, a living testimony, is Jesus of Nazareth. The ticket man is Jesus Christ, and he warns us, no one gets to the Father's house except through him. Now you might be thinking, wow, that's a little harsh. That's all right for you, but I've thought about this. And there are other ways. I think there are other ways that make sense to me. After all, wouldn't God want the most people to have eternal life? Having only one way seems so cruel or unfair or unloving. Well, that's the great problem, isn't it? Reason doesn't cut it. Faith in God does. What other way can there be? Every other single religion in the world depends on the human being, on human works and human intelligence and reason. Peter's the example here. Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. I'll do it by my work. And Jesus says, no, you can't do that. He says, in fact, will you really? What can you do? In fact, when you do your work, you're going to really deny me. And that's what happens when we get more into doing the works, thinking that they are works of righteousness that make us righteous. We actually deny Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Christianity depends upon God and His gift of grace in Jesus. All the other religions remove God from the picture. And that's their key. The way they deal with God is say, well, He doesn't exist. This is the right way. God doesn't exist. This is no good. This is a lie. Proverbs tells us twice. Proverbs, written by the wisest man in the world ever, tells us twice there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, reason doesn't cut it. We need to have faith. It's not unfair or unloving. It's gracious assurance so that we will be sure and never doubt whether we are on the right path. There will be no confusion. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus is the way. There's no confusion. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the gate for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am nourishment in life. I'm sight or revelation in life. I'm direction in life. I'm protection in life. I am hope in this life of a better life. And I'm the one true way in this life to eternal life in my Father's house. Cruel? No. What grace. What love. What a shepherd. We all deserve to die, folks. What a Savior. What a Messiah. What a King. That He would die for His people and come back for them. He doesn't let us laying on the battlefield. He comes back to take us that we might enjoy glory with Him. Don't let the world make you doubt. We know now, post-resurrection, as they didn't know then, that Jesus died, rose again, and was seen by many people. If He did what He said He would do, His followers now, and that includes you and I who believe now, can trust that He will do what He says He will do, and that's come back for us. His direction to us is trust in God. Trust in Him. He's coming back to take His followers with Him, that they might be with Him also. And it's written in red for all to see so that we might not get lost and crash. That's grace. That's love. That's our divine Shepherd and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.